We have to investigate further, study the conditions on Beta. Our primary objective is to save the humanoids on Gamma, Kossoff said flatly. And what about the octopods on Alpha? The linguist asked. They're intelligent, too. Not really, said the astronomer. They are. It's not the same order of intelligence. They're a different order of creature, Felicia pointed out. How can you expect the same order of intelligence? And their ocean is boiling away, the linguist said with some fervor. The astronomer countered, slowly. Slowly, the linguist admitted. But soon enough, the octopods will be in danger of extermination. Brad sank back in his chair and stared down the length of the table at MC's placid image while his team wrangled endlessly. Then he noticed that Kossoff was smiling grimly. He's enjoying this, Brad thought. He's very nearly sidetracked my attempt to study Beta more closely. Decisions. He's trying to drive a wedge between you and me, said Little John. Brad saw that the chief of the anthropology department looked downcast. It was mid-afternoon. The two of them were sitting alone at a table in the nearly empty cafeteria. Brad's lime juice barely touched, Little John's steaming cup of tea also still brimming. You mean because he's put Larry on my team? I've only got 12 people in my department, Little John said almost wistfully. He's put you and Larry onto this special team to plan our procedure for contacting the Gammons. That's 1/6 of my manpower, and 2 more of my people have asked to join your team. I don't want 2 more people, Brad said. I didn't want to have a team in the first place. Little John's red-rimmed eyes stared at Brad. Kossoff is trying to wedge us apart, he repeated. But why? Because I've been explaining his motives to you. I've been protecting you from him, a little. Brad said, no. I think it's because he doesn't want you to continue with your study of how he operates. Our work isn't aimed at him. You know that. We're studying the entire community here, the evolution of a community that's separated from the rest of human society. But inevitably, Brad pointed out, your study becomes a critique of how he runs things. Little John shook his head. That's how he sees it, I'll bet you. How egocentric. That's the way he is. I can't believe that. But you could test it, Brad said. Test it how? You go to Kossoff and volunteer to put the whole anthropology department to work on my team. You tell him you want to help me. But that would mean... Little John's voice trailed off as he realized the implications of Brad's suggestion. Brad said, that would mean you'd have to suspend the department's study of the ship's personnel and the development of our unique society. Give up our study on the surface, Brad said. Kossoff will jump at the chance to get your department to stop spying on the people here. We're not spying, Little John bleated. But that's the way most of the people in the ship think of us. That's the way Kossoff sees us. We anthropologists are nothing more than snoops sticking our noses where they're not wanted. So if I offer to put my people to work helping you, you'll have to stop studying the other people of this expedition. And that's what he's really after. It's not the only thing he's after, Brad replied. But he'll be happy to have you stop the anthro study. I'm certain of it. A slow smile spread across Little John's face. That in itself would be a significant anthropological finding. Hunching forward over the table, Brad added, and although our original study will be sidetracked, we'd still have all the behavioral data that MC gathers automatically every day. Yes, we would, wouldn't we? It's worth a try. Little John's smile winked out. But we can't tell anyone else about this. Not Larry, certainly, said Brad. He couldn't keep a secret like this. I'm not even sure he'd even want to keep the secret. He'd blab it to Kossoff right away. Miking points with a big boss, Little John mused. Perhaps you're right, Brad prompted. So you go to Kossoff instead and volunteer the entire anthropology department to help in drawing up a plan for contacting the Gammons. I'll offer to step down as team director and let you take over in my place. No, said Little John. That might be too obvious. It might tip Kossoff to the idea that we've concocted this scheme together. Brad thought it over briefly. Maybe you're right. but it'll seem awfully weird for me to be your boss. Fortunes of war, my boy. Stranger things have happened. Yeah, maybe. Kossoff stared across his desk at Littlejohn. The entire anthropology department? He asked. There's only 12 of us, said the Aborigine. 10, actually, with Brad and Untermeyer working on the contact plan. But what about the work you're already doing? Kossoff asked. You can't give that up, can you? We can mothball it for the present, and then resume the study after the contact plan is completed. Kossoff drummed his fingers on his desktop for a few moments. Then, once we've actually established contact with the Gamins, I imagine you'll have a whole new area of study to occupy you. Littlejohn allowed himself to smile a little. Yes, I suppose we will. Frowning slightly, Kossoff said, Technically, this would mean you'd be working under McDaniels. Would that bother you? Cause any problems? Brad and I have always gotten along quite well, Littlejohn replied. He's not much of a one for organization charts and lines of command, anyway. He's an unusual one. With a forced sigh, Littlejohn said, I know he's caused his share of problems for you. Kossoff grunted. I should have a dozen like him. What do you mean? McDaniels is a very unusual young man. He goes outside the lines of authority, true enough, but he gets things done. We would never have realized the octopods on Alpha have a language if Brad hadn't pushed us into it. Now he wants to study Beta more closely. He can be troublesome, Littlejohn agreed. That's the kind of trouble I need, said Kossoff. That's the kind of trouble that makes progress, makes breakthroughs. Surprised, Littlejohn admitted. I thought you were upset by Brad's attitude. Of course I was upset when he first started defying me. But more and more I realize that he has an instinct for making discoveries. He follows his own drummer, that boy. And he gets others to follow along after him. He certainly does. And none of us gave a thought to the possibility that there's significant life on Beta. But he did. He just about forced me to increase our surveillance of the planet. Are field mice significant? Littlejohn asked. They certainly are. And this coming conjunction between Beta and Gamma. The astronomers are agog with anticipation, and now McDaniels has the biologists getting interested in watching what happens when the two planets pass each other. Oh, I didn't realize. Kossoff was smiling now. The big challenge with an intellect like McDaniels is to channel his energy, harness his curiosity. To use him. Littlejohn murmured. Nodding vigorously, Kossoff said, That's right. From what Untermeyer has showed me of the plan they're developing, they're going to recommend sending one or more of our people to the surface of Gamma and initiating actual physical contact with the humanoids. Before the near passage with Beta. Yes. Perhaps staying on the planet's surface during the near passage. Won't that be dangerous? Of course it will. That's why we need to choose the contact person very carefully. Littlejohn realized where Kossoff was heading. You're thinking of sending Brad. I think he's ideal for the job. Bright, knowledgeable, adventurous. He's ideal. Littlejohn stared at Kossoff's bearded, smiling face and wondered, Does he actually believe Brad should make first contact with the aliens? Or is he trying to get rid of the lad permanently? Assignment. Felicia was genuinely upset. But why should you be the one to go down to Gamma? Why you? It had started as a dinner-time conversation, sitting at their narrow kitchen table. Brad had told her that Kossoff had asked him to be the one who makes first contact with the Gamins. Now, 2 hours later, they were still going round and round, hotter and hotter. It's going to be dangerous, Felicia insisted. You could get hurt, killed. Brad tried to soothe her fears. Look, honey, I'll have the whole contact team watching me every minute from up here in the ship where it's safe, but they'll be able to lift me off the planet if trouble comes. Really? Desai plans to move the ship into orbit around Alpha when Beta and Gamma have their close encounter. How can they rescue you when we're more than 32 million kilometers away from you? Their discussion evolved into an argument. From the kitchen to the sitting room, from there into the bedroom. Brad felt confused, almost betrayed that Felicia could be so difficult, so demanding, so angry at him. In desperation, Brad summoned MC and asked for a risk evaluation. Appearing across the bedroom from them, MC stood silently thoughtful for several heartbeats, an eternity for the computer's optronic circuitry, Brad thought. At last, MC replied, "There are too many unknowns in the problem to give an accurate assessment." "Thanks a lot," Brad grumbled. "Off." The holographic image winked out. "You see," Felicia said. "Not even MC can calculate the risks." Brad stood at the foot of the bed, Felicia to one side of it. He felt anger simmering inside him. She's being stubborn, foolish. But then he realized that what she really was frightened. Without a word, Brad went to her and folded her into his arms. She leaned against him, whispering, "Please, Brad, please don't go." He kissed the tousled hair on the top of her head. "I've got to, honey. I can't ask somebody else to go. It's got to be me." Felicia did not cry. She looked up at him, dry-eyed. "Even if you might get killed? Especially if I might get killed. I could never live with myself if I sent somebody else down there and he got killed." Silently, he added, "Like my family." She nodded regretfully. "I know. I think that's what bothers me the most. I knew you would go, and you wouldn't let anyone else go in your place." "I love you, Phil." "Yes, I know. And I love you." She almost smiled. "But you're the most stubborn jackass I've ever met." He laughed weakly, then kissed her. As they broke their embrace, Brad said, "You just make sure you steer clear of Kossoff while I'm gone." Her face utterly serious, Felicia said, "If anything happens to you, I'll kill him." Brad stood there, shocked by her intensity. "She means it," he thought. "I'd better make sure to come back in one piece." While Brad stood in the middle of the antiseptic-smelling examination room, Noriyoshi Yamagata leaned his rump against the exam table, eyeing Brad like a hangman calculating how much rope he's going to need. Head of the ship's medical team, Yamagata was the scion of an old Japanese industrial family. His ancestors had helped build the lunar city-state of Selene, had made fortunes on solar power satellites and fusion-powered spacecraft. Yamagata Industries had turned the planet Mercury into a solar power center for the whole inner solar system and constructed the first starships after specifications provided by the predecessors. He was almost as tall as Brad's shoulders, with a thick, heavy body and short but powerful limbs. His face was round and flat, his narrow eyes wreathed with laugh wrinkles. But he was not smiling as he silently studied Brad. Noriyoshi had dedicated his life to the study of medicine, especially the field of cyborg enhancements of the human body. Now he looked Brad up and down, muttering to himself in Japanese. Brad felt slightly uneasy, but forced himself to smile pleasantly at the chief of the ship's medical department. "You have the right body build," said Yamagata at last in international English. "Very tall and slim, much like the Gamins themselves." "Then I won't need any surgical changes?" Brad asked. "You will need a full body suit, of course. Protection against possible pathogens in the environment." "But wouldn't alien pathogens be, well, alien? They wouldn't react with humans." "That is the theory," said Yamagata. "But we wouldn't want to find out that the theory is wrong, would we?" "No, I suppose not." "I'll have to bring in some engineers. Your biosuit should also filter the air you breathe and provide for elimination of your wastes." Brad immediately asked, "What about food?" "A necessity, of course, unfortunately. You will have to bring a supply with you and cache it somewhere. And we will have to design a system to allow you to eat the food without breaking your protective seal."